Turn to the book of John, chapter 13. Book of John, chapter 13. I'd like to read verse 23 and verse 25 for our text. Verse 23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved." Verse 25, "He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it?" Again, notice verse 23. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples." And in verse 25, "He then lying on Jesus' breast." This is a very beautiful picture. It takes place in the upper room of a house that Jesus had chosen. And at this time, there were 13 people in that room. There were the 12 apostles, and there was Jesus. And we read of one leaning on Jesus' bosom. So our attention is drawn to two individuals, Jesus and this one leaning on his bosom. Unbeknownst to the apostles in that room with Jesus, this would be the night that Jesus would be arrested. Leading up to our text verses 4 through 15, Jesus had washed and dried the feet of the apostles, leaving them an example of service. Following that, he informed them that one that evening would betray him. So there are 12 individuals in that room besides Jesus. And Jesus informs them there in verse 18 through 21 that one of them would betray Jesus Christ. This greatly troubled the apostles. Verse 22, in verse 21, he says, "One of you," the last statement, "one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake, or wondering who it was that he was talking about. If you keep a mark there and turn to Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, verse 22, "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" There's a message there as well. Mark 14 and verse 19, "And they began to be sorrowful, and say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And they went around asking that question." Now, while all that was going on, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. Again, that is a very beautiful and moving picture. This was a very difficult and trying time. And again, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. That is a very instructive scene. I want to speak tonight on leaning on the bosom of Christ. First of all, we want to have two main points. We want to consider this position of leaning on Jesus' bosom. And then we want to consider what it was that led John, or this one, to lean on the bosom of Christ, or to lay his head upon the chest of Christ. This is a very blessed position. In the Gospel of John, John always speaks of himself in the third person. And so it is here in our text verses. In other words, John is the one leaning on the bosom of Jesus Christ. John is the one lying on the breast of Jesus Christ. This is a position of privilege. It is a position of opportunity. It is a position of great benefit, great advantage. It's a word picture. Leaning on Jesus' bosom. We can see that in our minds. Lying on Jesus' breast. It also tells us something about the person of Jesus Christ. It speaks of his tenderness. It speaks of his compassion. It speaks of his care. We have a tender, compassionate, caring Savior. One in which we can lay our head upon. Now I believe that Jesus enjoyed and took great pleasure when John put his head upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. So though those words, leaning on Jesus' bosom and lying on Jesus' breast, they do paint a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ and who he is, but they also paint, when what we want to emphasize tonight, a picture of our own privilege and our own opportunity. We all have a place to lay our head. The question is, where do we most often lay our head? There was one in that room that night leaning upon the bosom of Christ. Again, 13 people at this point in that room. 12 apostles and Jesus. And how many of them were leaning on the bosom of Christ? Well, verse 23 tells us. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. It's not that the others did not have an interest, but they weren't where John was, leaning his head on the bosom of Christ. This was so significant in John's life. He mentions it twice here in John 13, verse 23 and 25. And he mentioned it again. Notice in John 21, in verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper. By the time you get to John 21, John is still thinking about having his head upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. It was something that was very significant in his life. It was something he did not forget. And you lie your head upon the bosom of Jesus Christ, and that is not something that you will forget. John had a very special place to lay his head. So do we. We have a special place to lay our head. So what does this position, leaning upon the bosom of Christ, what is indicated by this position, by this posture. So there is John leaning on Jesus' bosom, lying on Jesus' breast. First off, that describes his location. Look at where he is. He's leaning upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. So it describes his location. Now we know his location's in the upper room, but more precise, he's leaning on the bosom of Christ. Describes his posture. Look at what he's doing. He's leaning. He's lying upon the breast of Jesus Christ. I believe it also is descriptive of his status. It is descriptive of his condition. It describes a nearness to Jesus Christ. John was nearest to the place which Jesus occupied. Again, at this moment, soon Judas would leave. But at this moment, there are 12 apostles in that room. And John was nearest to the place which Jesus occupied. Now the other 11, they also, of course, had a location. They also were in some sort of posture in that upper room. But only John was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Only John was lying on Jesus' breast. In other words, John is where others are not. He's someplace where they aren't. Though they're all in the same room, he's in a place where they aren't. The other 11 were sitting in the same room, sitting at the same table with Jesus Christ, and what a blessing it was to do so. What a blessing to be in the same room with Jesus Christ. What a blessing to sit at the same table with Jesus Christ. But this is something special. John was leaning upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. There's a special nearness here. There's a special benefit for John. So there's John leaning on Jesus' bosom, lying on Jesus' breast. This is a position of trust and security. You're not just going to go up to a stranger and lean your head and rest your head upon that person's chest. It's got to be someone you know. It's got to be somebody you trust and feel secure with. So this is a position of trust. This is a position of security. So there's John. His head is on the bosom of Jesus. That is a position of enjoyment. He is enjoying Jesus Christ in a way that the others were not. He is receiving from Jesus Christ in a way that the others were not. This is a special place. This is a place of fellowship. This is a place of intimacy with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that the others were out of fellowship. Certainly they weren't. Judas was. But the others were not. And we're not saying that they weren't enjoying Jesus Christ. But John was in a very, very special place. It is a place of special endearment. And again, we need to ask ourselves, where is it that we are most prone to lie our head? Where is it that we are most prone to lean? Now notice the blessedness of this position. It is a place of special blessing. It is a place of special benefit. And I believe John was blessed that night in a way that the others were not. First of all, he had a special communion with Jesus Christ. In verse 21, the end of that verse, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." We've already seen that when he said that, the apostles began to ask, "Is it I?" And there's something to be said of that spirit, but that's not our point this evening. Lord, is it I? Now it appears that Jesus did not answer their question. And Peter beckoned to John. Where's John? He's leaning upon the breast of Jesus Christ. And notice John 13, verse 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, to John, who was leaning on the breast of Christ, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" So Peter gets the attention of John, asks John, maybe hand signals, whatever, asks John to ask Christ, "Who is it that is going to betray you?" And I believe that John, with his head leaning on Jesus' bosom, he didn't need to speak in a loud voice. He's right there. And he simply said, "Lord, who is it? Lord, who is it?" Then notice verse 26. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop, then I have, when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, I believe that only John heard Christ's answer. There's John leaning his head upon the breast of Jesus. And Jesus says, "It is he who I give the sop." And John was in a position to hear the whisper of Jesus Christ. We need to get in that position. We need to stay there, where we can hear the whisper of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing it is to be able to hear the still small voice of Jesus. Amen. It's a remarkable thing when Jesus whispers in our ear. So there was a special communion going on between Jesus and John. But also, he had a special knowledge. John, with his head leaning on Jesus' bosom, lying on Jesus' breast, heard Jesus say, verse 26, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop." Now the reason I believe that only John heard that, verses 26 through 29, verse 27, in verse 26, he gives the sop, the piece of bread dipped, to Judas. "And after the sop, Satan entered into him," Judas. "Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. I believe John knew, but the others didn't, because they didn't hear. They didn't hear what John heard. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto them, buy those things that ye have need of against the feast. Man, were they off. And God's people often are, when they begin to speculate. But John didn't have to speculate. I believe he knew. Because his head was right there on Jesus' breast, and he had a knowledge that the others did not have. So there was a communion. There was a knowledge. But also he could feel something that the others didn't feel. There's John. His head is leaning on the bosom of Christ. And in that position, he could look up into the face of Jesus Christ like the others couldn't. He could look up into the face of Jesus in a very special way, and Christ could look down into the face of John. What a picture. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. John and Jesus, close to each other, looking into the face of each other. This is heaven on earth for John, leaning on the bosom of Christ. And if you want a little bit of heaven on earth, you lean your head upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. John's in a position where he can hear and feel the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Now think about that. He could hear and feel the heartbeat of God. That's close. That's pretty close. What a blessing. John is in a position where he can feel the breath of Jesus Christ. He's in a position where he can feel the breath of God. Now I realize it makes Baptists uncomfortable to talk about feelings, but John is in a position where he can feel what others cannot. And that's a pretty good place to be. We ought to have feelings when it involves Jesus Christ. He also, I believe, had a special peace. There's John, leaning on Jesus' bosom, lying on Jesus' breast. The other 10, after Judas had left, they were greatly troubled. John 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. They were confused. They were in a state of agitation. They were fearful. They were anxious. They were greatly distressed. But I've got to believe that John wasn't. John, leaning his head on the bosom of Christ, is in a place of peace. He's in a place of relief. He's in a place of comfort. He's in a place of assurance and security. He's in a place of great pleasure and delight. The others, I believe, are troubled. Perhaps John was too, but I just have a hard time believing that. I believe he's an exception here because of where he is. Again, this is a very special place. And it is a special experience that John mentioned three times. He mentions it on the night that it occurred. But then later on, again, John 21 and 20, he mentions it again. Because he never forgot. He never forgot that evening when he leaned his head upon the bosom of Christ. And I have a feeling that that wasn't the first time that John leaned his head upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. I believe it was probably a habit of John. And even if it wasn't, that's a good habit to get into. Amen. To just lean our head upon Jesus Christ. What do we know of this experience? Leaning our head upon the bosom of Christ. That brings us to our second point. What brought John to this place? I believe that John, as you read the Gospels, I don't think there's any doubt. I don't see how anybody could argue differently. I believe that John was the most spiritual of the apostles. There was a very personal awareness and assurance that John had of Christ's love for him. Again, John never referred to himself by name in the Gospel of John. He spoke of himself in the third person. But he spoke of himself as one that Jesus loved. John 13 and 23, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, referring to himself. John chapter 19, verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, this is at the cross, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, John's writing this, the disciple whom he loved. John chapter 20, verse 2. This is the resurrection. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. John referring to himself. John 21 and verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And then in verse 20, then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. John's writing about himself. And he's writing as one who was overwhelmed. One who is overcome with such a thought that Jesus Christ loved him. The disciple whom Jesus loved. John was a man who lived in the wonder and the amazement of the fact that the Lord loves me. It amazed John. He was very assured of that love. I'm not saying the others weren't, but it seems like John had something more. He lived knowing. He lived persuaded, convinced, and assured that Jesus Christ loved him. This isn't something that he merely imagined. This isn't something that he supposed or something that he conjured up. But he lived his life in the awareness and the knowledge and the assurance and the persuasion. Christ loves me. This was more than just a doctrine. to John. This was real. This was a reality in his life. Jesus Christ loves me. It was something he believed. It was something that he was deeply convicted of in the depths of his soul. He was loved of the Lord. Again, he referred to, he spoke of, and identified himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was not unmindful of the Lord's love for him. He was not insensitive to the Lord's love for him. But he lived his life feeling the power and the fervency of Christ's love for him. He lived his life experiencing the tenderness of Christ's love, the compassion, the long-suffering of the love of the Lord, the devotion of Christ's love. He felt the sustaining power of Christ's love. And it boggled his mind. It thrilled his soul that Jesus loved him. He was so sure of the love of Christ that it was not uncomfortable for him to just lean his head over on the bosom of Christ. You're not going to put your head upon another person unless you're pretty sure that they're going to let you. He had an assurance that compelled him, that made it natural for him to just lean his head upon Christ. You see, he just wanted to be closer to the Lord. And when you know that Jesus loves you and that is real, you just want to be closer to Him. You don't want to get far away from Him. You don't want to run from Him. You just want to get closer to Him. It was as if John could not get close enough. No matter how close he got, he wanted more. So confident of Christ's love, he laid his head upon the bosom of Christ. And I believe a realization of Christ's love for us will draw us to the bosom of Christ. Also, another thing that drew him there was great humility. There was no pride in taking the title the disciple whom Jesus loved. There's no pride in that. No doubt, John loved Jesus. No doubt about that. But he did not call himself the one who loved Jesus. He didn't refer to himself in that way. He referred to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. And when you think of Christ's love for your soul, that humbles you. Because you know you're unworthy. So he didn't give himself the title, the one who loved Jesus. Because he felt his own love unworthy of mention in the presence of Christ's love for him. Nor does he say, John, the one whom Jesus loved. He didn't mention his name. He said the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's humbled in soul. And he laid his head on Jesus' bosom. and you will not lay your head upon the bosom of Christ as long as there's pride. There has to be humility of soul. But remember, this is a special place. Now again, I do believe that John was the most spiritual of the apostles. Several things we notice about him. John 19, verse 26, we already read the verse, we'll read it again. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, Jesus is on the cross. He looks out and there's Mary and the disciple standing by whom he loved. This is John writing. Now, at the foot of the cross, all the others had fled. There was one apostle that remained. John. I don't believe he ever got away from where he placed his head. And as he stands there, he feels the love of Christ. It's obvious from what he wrote. So he stood where the others did not stand. In John 21, verse 4, this is after the crucifixion. Jesus has arisen. When the morning was now come, it's the following day, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's the Lord. John recognized who it was when the others did not. And in John 21 and 20, we see John following Christ. So in closing, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. He then lying on Jesus' breast. Can we put ourselves in that picture? Can we put ourselves in that picture? Go back to John 13, verse 23. Now, put the emphasis on now. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Now. Right now, at this very moment, is this us? Is this us? Not asking you about earlier in the day, not asking you about yesterday, not asking you about tomorrow. Now. Is that where our head is lying tonight? On the bosom of Jesus Christ. I believe we, all of us are saved. We've all been there at some point, at least I sure hope so. But it needs to be a habit. It needs to be our practice to just lean our head upon Jesus Christ. There's comfort there that you will not find anywhere else. There's security and assurance there that you will not find anywhere else. There's enjoyment there that you will not find anywhere else. What a wonderful Savior we have, that He would allow me to lie my head upon His breast. And I can do that at any time. and he will not turn me away. He will not turn me away. At any time, I can lean my head upon Jesus. He's always there, and he's always willing for me to lean my head upon him. And I believe that when we do, he takes great pleasure that we do that. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.